Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
So excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Oh my gosh, so much has been going on. It's been a whirlwind, but you know what? It's been great because, of course, it's books and we love books and reading here. But always, I'm working on the weekly Biblio Lifestyle newsletter that I send to readers every Friday. So if you aren't subscribed, sign up. Always interviewing for the podcast, The Reader's Couch. But the biggest thing that happened recently, and it was just so much fun, was the Epigraph Literary Festival. The whole idea for the festival was to really focus on the joys of reading. And I really think we achieved that with the festival. We're hoping to make it 2 times a year. And the first one was back in April. So we had the inaugural event, April 21st to 23rd. And of course, we had you there, Laura. And I just really want to say, you know, thanks for hosting the romance session alongside 3 other great podcasters. We had Brie from the Categorically Romance podcast, Becky from Too Stupid to Live, and Kelly from Boobies and Nubbies. So it was just kind of great to have you 4 there and talking all things romance. So that was really exciting on Saturday. But we also had 35 authors for the first event, which I thought was a huge accomplishment. We had 35 authors across genres. I'm now posting clips from the authors on YouTube. So if you search Biblio Lifestyle, you can find the authors who are at the Epigraph Literary Festival. They're still actively uploading. So that's happening. But honestly, I feel the best part of the festival were the live sessions. So if you wanted to see Laura and everyone else, you'd have to show up live. And we had other great sessions. I did a session on book collecting. I had someone who's super passionate about journaling come in. We had letter writing sessions. I mean, people were even finding pen pals, which was great. We had crafting sessions. It was just really tons of fun. I really enjoyed myself. It was great to connect with readers in a visual way. So yeah, I'm really excited to have the second event in September. So the first event in April, that was kind of our spring summer event. So the event in September is going to be like our fall winter event. So mark your calendars, okay, because you want to come live. It's going to be September 22nd to 24th. So it's going to be that Thursday, Friday and Saturday weekend. We'll have authors sharing about their upcoming books again. We'll have fun sessions as always. We'll have authors coming back from the spring and summer session to join the happy hours. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting. And if you want to know all the event happenings, you know, be sure to sign up to save your seat. It's going to be epigraphlitfest.com. But I'm really excited about the festival.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for the festival. I had so much fun attending the sessions. Like you had a journaling session, you had about how to track your reading, you had like all these different tools and tips and guides. And at the same time, it was a lot of fun to connect with the community. The happy hour sessions were so great. So I am excited for September.
Yes, we're going to come back bigger and better. It was really fun. And again, focusing on the joys of reading, I think, you know, keeping that at the center and the core of the festival is super important. Because at the end of the day, you know, reading should be fun. And that's really what I want to kind of bring across as well.
Yay! All right. So today we're talking about summer reading guides. So tell us a little bit about what to expect for this year's summer reading guide. How many books do we have? What categories are we talking? And then we're going to chat recommendations. But first, tell us a little about the summer reading guide and where can we get it?
Okay, so I'm really excited to talk about the summer reading guide. First and foremost, okay, the guides are free to download. So you can head straight to the website, bibliolifestyle.com. So that's B-I-B-L-I-O lifestyle.com. That's where you can get a free copy of the guide. I do seasonal guides. So we had the spring reading guide we talked about. Now we have summer, and we'll have a fall and winter guide as well. We'll also do a bonus holiday gift guide. So, you know, just be on the lookout for that. But one of the favorite things I love about the guide, believe it or not, is designing the cover of the guide. So last summer, I hired an artist. Her name is Lauren George. She's amazing. And she did the first illustrated cover of the guide. So doing this summer design is coming full circle. It means I've been working with her for a full year. And she designed the new summer guide cover. And the vibe I was going for was reading on a boardwalk near the coast somewhere. So I live in Florida, and even though I don't live in this town, one of the first cities I remember visiting was Fort Lauderdale, and I went to Hollywood Beach, and there's this boardwalk down there. It's so big. There are a bunch of shops along the way. And of course, there's an ocean right there. So that was kind of the vibe I was going for. You can find boardwalks all up and down the coast. So yeah, in the design, there's a bookshop, there's an ice cream shop, everyone's reading. We have folks laying out on the beach, sand reading, and we even have an animal depicted with his books as well. So you'll really have to look closely to find that. I always like inserting animals. I'm a big animal lover. So inserting them in there with their books as well. So that was fun. So starting off with the cover there. So yeah, my husband and I came up with that idea. Lauren brought the design to life. So that was fabulous. Now for the content. This year's guide has 30 new books. We have them organized across 8 categories. So if you're the kind of reader who's just like, you know what, I just want to read romance, that's fine. Go straight to that category. If you want to just read historical fiction, science fiction, fantasy, horror, whatever you're in the mood for, you can go straight there. So 30 books in total, 8 categories, but I'm well aware that some readers are not able to read, you know, 30 books over a 3 to 4 month period. So for that reason, I said, you know what, I'm going to make a minimalist list. So this list has 8 books, because remember, we have 8 categories. So what I essentially did was I pulled 1 book each from each category and put that together and say, hey, if you're looking for the best new books to read, this is the list you should pull from. So that's where the minimalist list was born as well. So you're going to find 30 new books. You're going to find 8 categories, the minimalist list, but also you'll find some fun recipes in the guide. You'll find some things you can do, whether at home or outside, whatever you want to do. We have some ideas for the summer. And we also have some tips to kind of help you improve your reading life. So it's kind of, you know, just go-to guide for the whole season. We're giving you books to read, things to do, recipes to make, and we're also providing great reading tips.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. So today we're chatting the minimalist guide, which is 8 books in 8 different categories. So you're going to get a little bit of everything for you to try on. And so this could be your reading guide, your TBR for the next 3 months. So, all right, let's start with the first category. Which is?
On literary fiction, that's the first category. Now, I know when people think summer, they think beach reading and light books, but you know what? I want to challenge readers as well. There are tons of books in the guide that are super light, but for our literary fiction pick, this one's a little heavy. You know, it's a heavier book. It has some dark themes, but hey, if you're going to read a heavy book, read it in the summer. You don't want to read this in the winter or the fall. So I'm recommending Night Crawling by Leela Motley. Again, heavier book. it might be triggering for some readers. And essentially the summary for this one that I'm, you know, I pitched in the guide, which is really just a 1-2 sentence summary, is that in this novel, we meet two Black siblings from a fractured family. They're scraping by and, you know, you really kind of see the desperation with the main character. And she's really just trying to survive and thrive amidst a lot of loss in her family, as well as being caught up in a sex trafficking scandal. So we meet Kiara. She's 17 years old, and we meet her older brother, Marcus. They've been on their own since their mom went to jail. So there's that loss right there of not having a parent. But unfortunately, their landlord raises the rent on their apartment, and Kiara grows really desperate. Her brother is no help because he's busy trying to kind of chase his dreams as a hip hop artist. He thinks this is going to be the big break, you know, and he's going to get a bunch of money and this is going to save them. And as a result, because he's chasing these hip hop dreams, he's unable to hold down a job. So Kiara is searching for any work that she can find. It doesn't help that she's a high school dropout. Her brother is also a high school dropout. So there's that. And she goes to a strip club to hopefully get a job, and a misunderstanding occurs, and that turns into the job she never knew she needed, but she ends up doing, which is night crawling. And at first she tells herself, I'm just going to do sex work to get enough to pay the rent and cover the groceries. And she has the pressure of really taking care of a boy who lives next door in the next apartment. But then she gets caught up in a scandal that involves the Oakland Police Department, and her whole world crumbles when her name surfaces publicly as a witness. So throughout the novel, like I said, this is heavier. We see Kiara's desperation. We also see her bravery and her determination. But there's also bits of joy in the story. You know, we see her learning to swim, spray painting and getting into art, and also finding shelter in the arms of a friend. So it is a heartrending book, you know, it's heartbreaking, but it's also, I think, a very important read. I think we're going to see this one throughout the summer. Again, it's heavy, but it's worth reading. And fun fact, I just discovered this author is 19 years old. She's just going to be 20 this year. So knowing that books take some time to kind of, you know, come out here in the world, it's fair to say she's been writing this since she was 17, 18 years old. So she's really young, and it's mind blowing because the language in this book, which is really what I focus on when I'm selecting a literary fiction pick, it's very poetic. And I think that's actually the beauty of this novel. It's just the way this author wields her words. So again, I know it's heavy, I know it's dark, but I want to challenge readers, even if now is not the right time, buy this book, pick up this book, Night Crawling by Lila Motley.
Oh my gosh, this book sounds so good. And it's a heavy topic, but it's a timely topic too.
Yeah, so absolutely. And you know, if you're looking for a recommendation, if you read Salvage the Bones by Jesmyn Ward, yeah, then, you know, and you appreciated that book, then this is the book for you. Also, I think another good comparison would be There by Tommy Orange.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you've read those books, you appreciate them, then definitely give Night Crawling a chance.
There we go. All right. So what's the next category?
Okay. Our next category is historical fiction. Okay, so for a historical fiction pick, there are three books that I selected for the guide. I will admit reading historical fiction and finding good books in the summer can be a bit challenging for me, especially in the early parts of the summer. However, the book I'm recommending is Briefly, A Delicious Life by Nell Stevens. Now, you might recognize Nell Stevens' name if you are a nonfiction memoir reader, because she did write the memoir Bleaker House, which was very popular. And then she wrote The Victorian and The Romantic, that I was a fan of, both memoirs. So this is her fiction debut. And this is a little different from the traditional historical fiction novel. I know most readers of historical fiction tend to read World War II content. They might veer into World War I content, But this book is very different. So I guess I'm really challenging readers this season. This one is a retelling. It reimagines the life of French writer George Sand and Polish composer Frédéric Chopin and the winter they spent in Majorca in 1838. And while they're in this house, you know, their vacation house for the winter, they encounter a 15th century ghost that is haunting their house. So I know, you know, one, it's the retelling portion of it that makes it historical because this is, you know, based on a true story. But then the element of the ghost I thought was just really creative and it was, you know, it was just fabulous. So in this book, we meet a girl called Bianca. She died at the age of 14 in 1473, and she has been haunting this house, which was actually a monastery that used to be filled with monks, and it's called Charter House. And during her time there, she's never met a fellow ghost. She's just been haunting the monks, you know, creating havoc. She would torment them all the time, but now they are long gone. The place is empty. And then out of the blue, new tenants arrive to the Charter House. So amongst locals, they're aware that, you know, there's something wrong in this place. But the new tenants arrive, who happen to be the French writer George Sand, Polish composer Frédéric Chopin, her two children, and they also bring a servant girl. Now, when they enter the house, George Sand, which, by the way, is a pseudonym for a woman, a very popular writer, Sand draws the ghost, Bianca's, attention. And, you know, she's really fascinated by Sand. And the novel kind of really goes deep into, you know, a bit of loneliness, unrequited longing and love. So it was just very interesting finding this teenage ghost, you know, being super in love and fascinated with this person who doesn't see her or knows that she even exists. So that part for me just kind of brought the story to life. But really what the novel does is it's really exploring like a historical footnote. You know, it's really diving deep into a part of history that would just otherwise just be a blip. So it really opens this can of worms out. So, you know, I think a great historical novel, beautiful writing, beautiful language. And if I had to comp this, because I know it might sound weird to some people, they're like, Victoria, what is this? Well, if you read and loved Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell, I highly recommend this book. When I was reading this, I felt like I was transported when I read Hamnet the first time, because I couldn't read that book fast enough. I couldn't stop turning the pages. It was telling a historical story while also reimagining it at the same time. So I know it's straddling two lines there. But yeah, I really want to challenge readers to give this one a go. Oh, another book that would be a good comparison is The Pisces by Melissa Bruder. Mm-hmm. So that could be a good comp as well. But I really think it's more closer to Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. So again, give Briefly a Delicious Life by Nell Stevens a go.
I love this. And this was not so good. I like a break from the World War II or one or even Cold War, you know, historical fiction to try something else. And like looking at a book that happened 200 years ago, you know?
But I know, right? It's fascinating for me. I love reading about different times and different places. And I'm not saying there isn't place for World War II fiction. I just think it's really saturated. Mm-hmm. So I really love to kind of give readers something new, something challenging, and something that you otherwise might not try. So yeah, I really hope they'll give Nell Stevens' debut. I think this is going to be a big one as well. Give this one a try as well.
I love this. All right, next category, what it will be?
Okay, we are focusing on books that center family and friendship. So I love reading books about family dynamics and friendship, especially lifelong friendship. I'm very fascinated by that. And the book I'm recommending is Fellowship Point by Alice Elliott. Now, this is a beast of a book. When you physically see this book, you're going to be like, no, I'm not going to read this. But I promise you, you won't be able to stop turning the pages. So full transparency, this book comes in at almost 600 pages. Yes, I know, it's like two books in one. But it's one of those novels you won't want to end. And it's a story. The short pitch is it's a story about the friendship of two women who've been lifelong friends. And now their friendship is being tested later on in life when they need to decide about a piece of coastal property that they own in Maine. They need to decide what to do with it. And as a result of, you know, two friends wanting different things for this land and being pulled in different directions by their own family, we find long buried secrets and memories coming to light as a result of, you know, having to confront this disagreement and this problem as to what to do with the land. So in the novel, and I love this because, you know what, a lot of books kind of center on 20 somethings, 30 somethings, in fiction mostly. So I appreciated that this novel is about a woman in her 80s. Like I said, they're lifelong friends. We're meeting them later in life. So we meet Agnes Lee. She's an 80-year-old woman. And following her third breast cancer diagnosis, she is really starting to question her life and her legacy. She's thinking, you know, what am I going to leave behind? Now, she is a celebrated children's book author, you know, extremely successful. But she also writes under a pseudonym for adults. You know, it's kind of like a little secret thing she has going on. So, you know, publicly, she's known for these children's books, but she has great adult fiction as well. But the fifth volume in her series is due, and she's experiencing really bad writer's block. So Agnes is really trying to, you know, kind of find a distraction, get over her writer's block. But she's also, again, thinking about her legacy and what she wants to leave behind. So she's decided that a piece of land that she owns jointly with her lifelong best friend, Polly, she's decided that, you know what, I want to donate this land. I don't want to just leave it up to, you know, people and family members who might end up selling this and, you know, making it this big fancy new development. No, she really wants to preserve the land. So she's thinking, okay, I'm going to donate it. But again, she owns this jointly with her friend Polly and Polly's family. So now we meet Polly, who is a completely different kind of woman from Agnes. You know, Agnes doesn't have any children. Polly has children. She has a husband. She's very devoted. She's a devoted wife and mother. And Polly's always striving to have balance in her life, balance in her friendships, balance in her family, you know, keeping everything beautiful and pretty. And, you know, so you find that these two women are very similar in some regard, but vastly different at the same time. So when it comes to the land issue, they're at opposite ends. You know, Polly finds herself torn between the wishes of her best friend, Agnes, wanting to donate it, but also thinking about her three sons, you know, and what they want. So it's really a question of loyalties, but then also Polly is starting to question her own self and what she really wants. So, you know, there's that. But as if that's not enough, you know, Agnes and Polly have other problems too. Each of them are being held back in life by choices they've made years ago. And these choices are coming to light because, again, remember, Agnes is a writer and her editor in New York wants her to write a memoir. He's like, you just need to put it all out there, especially for someone who, again, you know, is thinking about her life and legacy. The editor's like, you should do this. So as a result, all the secrets, all the feelings, everything that has been going on might come to life. And Agnes is also saying, you know what, at this point in my life, if I can't say what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling and just put it all out there, when can I? So again, this is a novel about friendship, lifelong friendship, two friends, you know, having to make this decision about what to do with this bit of land and just all the complications and the secrets that come to light. And again, I thought this book was great. It blew my mind. It's a beast, but I couldn't stop turning the pages. So if you're just looking for one book to maybe read over a long weekend or something, if you want something to get lost in, and you're very interested in reading about friendships and family, give Fellowship Point by Alice Elliott a go.
I love this. I love the fact that we're featuring like older characters and they're at the end of their life where they have like, they have lived through life. They have something to say and it can justify the 600 pages, you know?
Exactly. And again, I just love when we meet older characters in books, but also not as side characters, but as main characters. Because I do believe those characters have a lot to say and they have a lot of life experience. And it's just, again, I think this author, Alice Elliott, this is my first book by her, but I'm going to be checking out her backlist. I mean, this was great. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be, again, something different, you know, and no offense to books about 20, 30 somethings, you know, it's great. But I love the diversity and reading about other people with different experiences as well.
Yes, I love this. All right, next category is
nonfiction. So I know I gave you all a heavy book with the literary fiction pick. The nonfiction pick is a little heavy as well. It's a true story. And this book is entitled We Carry Their Bones by Erin Kimmerdale. Now, I know The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead was a very popular book. I mean, Colson Whitehead himself is a very popular author. You might know him from the Underground Railroad as well. Well, his novel Nickel Boys, I think it was his most recent one, yeah, very popular. And he was writing about this Florida reform school called the Duzier Boys School. That was the institution he was focused on and all the injustices that happened there and everything that happened to the young Black boys. Well, this book tells the true story of that institution. So in the novel, well, not novel, my bad. In this book, we meet anthropologist Erin Kimmerdale. She decides that she wants to do an investigation into this school. This school started in the 1900s and it housed thousands of young men that were sentenced for presumed crimes. And I say presumed crimes in quotations. Some of them were really minor infractions and some of them weren't even crimes at all. And unfortunately, these boys were at the mercy of their jailers. And at the time, a very Jim Crow system of injustice. Many of the boys died there, whether they were beaten or they died trying to escape. So unfortunately, these boys were just buried in mass graves, on forgotten graves. Their family had zero closure on anything. So in the wake of the school's shutdown, which wasn't that long ago, the author, Erin Kimmerdale, like I said, she's a forensic anthropologist. She decided to go down there and try and identify the remains of the young men. And of course, while she's doing her investigation, she is realizing just how corrupt the system was, how racist the system was, and just overall problematic. And again, the school is now shut down, but she was receiving so much pushback during her investigation, you know, people trying to chase her out of town and try and tell her things were, you know, not that way and it's not what it looks like and all that stuff. So she also discovers how problematic the system was. But more than anything, I loved that she was focused on reuniting the boys with their families. Now, obviously, they've passed on. So, you know, this is just more of giving families closure. She was, you know, doing things through DNA and, you know, other forensic kinds of testing. So, you know, they're hopeful bits in the novel as well. But the process to actually reunite families was actually really contentious. So, again, this is another dark read. It's difficult, but I think it's really important. And again, if you read Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead, you really should pick up this book and kind of get the true story behind it, as well as this woman's investigation. You know, and even if you never read Nickel Boys, still give this one a go. Again, this is telling the true story. It's We Carry Their Bones by Erin Kimmerdale.
Yeah, this is a timely, you know, book to read, like just where we are right now, you know. So I, you know, hope the readers pick it up, even though it's heavy, and it's heavy in our history, but it's important that we should acknowledge, you know,
this absolutely happened. Yeah, absolutely. I think that was really the core of what this lady was trying to do. She's just like, look, this happened, let's acknowledge it. Let's reunite and give these, you know, the family members, even though, you know, it's years later, let's give them closure. Yeah. Let them know, you know, that their loved ones mattered, I guess, basically. And also at the same time, you know, if they want to receive the remains, you know, give them that opportunity. Because I do believe everyone, no matter the circumstances, you know, the family should have the opportunity to lay their loved ones to rest, if that makes sense. So, yeah. So again, difficult book, but give it a go.
Love it.
Awesome. So our next category, we're escaping a little bit. We're going to a fantastical world. This is my science fiction, fantasy and horror. I know it's a big category, but I put books under this one category. And the book that I'm recommending for the minimalist list is Dark Earth by Rebecca Stott. Now, this one is going way, way back. This is set in 500 AD. It's steeped heavily in myth and folklore, and there's magic. And we meet two sisters who are facing enslavement. They discover a community of rebel women that kind of make just everything worth fighting for, make their lives worth living, because to be quite honest, they went through a lot. So again, this book was set in 500 AD, and this is when the Roman Empire and the Romans have decided to abandon Britain. So the city of Londinium, right? We all know modern day London, lies abandoned. And we meet two sisters, we meet Isla and Blue, and they live with their father, who is known as the Great Smith, because he makes ceremonial swords and they're very powerful. And because, you know, he is this big deal, you know, he's the Great Smith, and that's what he's referred to throughout the book. His metalwork skills, because, you know, there's some magic to it. And because he has daughters who are different, you know, Isla has different colored eyes. Blue has some psychic gifts. They are feared within their community to be bad luck. So they are exiled to a little tiny island on the Thames. So that was, you know, just a whole big deal in itself. And then to make matters worse, when their father dies, Blue and Isla now have to find safety. And instead, you know, they went to deliver this sword that their father had made. And unfortunately, they end up having to flee town, because when it's discovered that Isla, one of the sisters, defied this sacred law of women not being able to do, you know, metal work, enter the forge and stuff like that, they now think, oh my God, all the swords are cursed and she possibly helped to make them. So this is just, you know, bad all around. So of course, now they're fleeing retribution because, you know, they're going to be killed. And they end up discovering this underworld of rebel women who are living secretly underground amid the ruins and all. And if these two sisters who the novel is following, you know, if they're going to survive everything that's going on, they have to unite with this community, and they'll have to use their skills, even though forbidden, to, you know, kind of fight back against those who are against them. So there are strong feminist themes in this novel, you know, and it's filled with a lot of magic. It's also filled with history. I think this is another one where an author took a footnote in history and just blew it up and made it historical, fantastical, and all this good stuff. I really enjoyed this. And when I was reading it, I was thinking about another book that I loved that was a part of a series. And it was The Lost Queen by Signe Pike. I think that's how her name is said. I really enjoyed that. So if you read The Lost Queen by Signe Pike, I think the next book in the series was The Forgotten Kingdom. But I really enjoyed her books. It was just a fantastical take on a part of history. Then you will enjoy Dark Earth by Rebecca Stott.
I love this. I love Dark Ages, you know.
Yes,
to be sad, because it's like I studied history in college, and so we just skipped over Dark Ages. We just went to Renaissance, you know. It was like Romans, Dark Ages, Renaissance, Dark Ages. We don't know much about it. But there must be something. It was like a long period of time.
Exactly. And you know, also this author added, she added a diverse cast. You know what I mean? So she really made it her own. She made it something, in my opinion, we would be proud of today if that were the case. So I'm like, yes, give me fantasy, give me representation, give me people all together, but also kind of still reflecting what it was at that time. So I appreciated it. You know, so if you want to escape to 500 AD, kick this one up.
Sounds good. All right, next category is
mysteries and thrillers, which I know very popular amongst readers, especially during the summertime. And you know what? I'm here for it. I'm here for it too. So on mystery and thriller selection, I actually have 6 books in this category. And the one I selected it because I felt like I was going on a vacation. I was on a holiday reading this one. as well. So even though there's a mystery and thriller component, I love the holiday vibes that I was getting from it. So I'm recommending The Last to Vanish by Megan Miranda. Now, y'all are probably used to Megan Miranda. You know, she's a well-known author. She had a Reese Witherspoon book club pick. I think it was The Last House Guest that was her pick. She also wrote Such a Quiet Place, All the Missing Girls, A Perfect Stranger, and most recently, The Girl from Widow Hills. So the name Megan Miranda is probably not a stranger amongst readers and readers who love mysteries and thrillers. Well, her latest, The Last to Vanish, was absolutely fabulous, in my opinion. So in this book, we meet a journalist who is investigating a string of disappearances in a small town, but then the guy who's doing the investigating goes missing. And then the tensions in the town start to rise when the town's secrets, because of course this town has a bunch of secrets, are threatened to be revealed. So, you know, when it comes to mysteries and thrillers, I really can't say too much because I don't want to spoil anything. But what I want to focus on, which is one of the things that was, you know, I really enjoyed, was the setting. So the novel is set in a cozy upscale resort in North Carolina. It's in the mountains, and this place is known for rafting, hiking, access to the Appalachian Trail, and all this good fun stuff. But it's also known for the crazy, mysterious disappearances that happen, right? And in the novel, we meet a girl called Abby. She's the person we're following, and she's been the manager of this upscale resort for the past 10 years, but she's never been frightened by the disappearances. You know, you'd think like maybe an outsider would be a bit freaked out, but no, she loves it. And again, she's been there for 10 years. However, the permanent residents in the town, because it's a resort town, so, you know, it has an influx of visitors during vacation season, but the local residents still kind of treat Abby like she's an outsider. So unfortunately, the town is thrust into the spotlight again, like I said, when the journalist, his name is Landon, comes to the town to investigate all the missing persons. Then he disappears. And then 4 months later, his brother arrives. His brother's name is Trey, and he's determined to get some answers. But the town people, they're not happy about this. Okay. And Abby starts to feel even more like an outsider because they're keeping her outside of the conversation. And then to make matters worse, Abby discovers a piece of key evidence. And then the tensions in the town really, really, really starts to blow up. So, yeah, like I said, outside of it being a thriller, which I loved, and I thought it was a very tightly wound, very well-plotted thriller. I just love the descriptions of the town and the activities. So it's like you're feeling the dread, the novel's very well-plotted, but you're also feeling like, okay, I am going on a holiday destination, because she writes about all these activities so well. So if you're looking for an entertaining thriller that will transport you to a vacation destination, then this is the book for you. So I think it does two things at once, especially for summer read. It's transporting you on vacation, but it's also, you know, giving you that thriller element as well.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love Megan Miranda's books, but I love the fact that they're like a good palate cleanser. Like, I like thrillers. It's just like, if you're just like in a reading slump, you just need something that's quick and easy, you feel like, I want to finish a book, a thriller, like Megan Miranda thriller, or even just like some of them, like just a quick, fast paced, twisty book. So you're just like, you can't stop reading, you know?
Absolutely. So again, remember, I gave you guys two heavy books. I gave you some fantasy. I gave you other books that you can escape in, but this is a perfect palate cleanser. So when you read a heavy book, you're going to need a light book. So this is great. So again, give Megan Miranda a go. It's The Last to Vanish.
Love this.
Okay, so our next category, we have two left, is young adult. So my young adult fiction pick is Kings of Beemore by R. Eric Thomas. Now, folks might recognize his name because he's a best-selling author. He wrote the book Here for It. And I think that was one of the major book club selection picks. I don't remember right now, but he's a very popular author. Well, he's now writing young adult. And in the Kings of Beemore, we meet two 16-year-old queer best friends who spend their last day together having memorable experiences across their city of Baltimore while keeping their protective parents who are tracking them on all these apps and stuff off their trail. So again, the book is entitled Kings of Beemore. So Beemore meaning Baltimore. So, so that's where the book is set. So in the novel, we meet Harrison, and his best friend, Linus, tells him that he's moving away from Baltimore to South Carolina. And his friend, Linus, kind of wants a clean break. You know, can you imagine just, you know, two young people, he's moving away and he's just like, you know what, I just want a clean break. I'm going, there's nothing I can do about it kind of thing. But Harrison, his friend, is all about the theatrics, okay? And he recently watched a film called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Right, yes. You guys, you should see Laura's expression. She's like, ah! So yes, he watched that film and he was super inspired by the film. So he decides to surprise his friend Linus with a day full of memorable experiences across Baltimore while, like I said, keeping his parents off his trail. In his mind, you know, this is a way to just, you know, cement their friendship, you know, be forever friends. And so they are going across the city and they're up to all kinds of antics. But, you know, their adventure hits a few snags along the way. They have some almost sightings from family members. They have some unplanned run-ins with some friends. And also kind of brought to the surface is just some of the complicated feelings they're having, you know. They're having complicated feelings. There's also some little family drama going on there. And the boys must also kind of confront, you know, the things that they fear and just fears for the future, along with the scariest thing of all, which is kind of saying goodbye to a friend and saying goodbye to someone you love. So I thought this was a tender-hearted but also heartwarming story about two boys, two queer boys, and discovering themselves along the way, you know, while also being, in my opinion, just a beautiful celebration of friendship. Because I think often we focus on romantic relationships, but I feel like friendships are actually the most important relationship we can actually have. They are one of the most important. So while we have romantic relationships with our partners and our spouses, you know, you have relationships with your children, you know, your fur babies, you know, I think friendships are just really, really important. So it's The Kings of Beemore by R. Eric Thomas. And Laura, I could tell you lit up with Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I have to tell you, I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off. There's something to be said about, but I'm an elder millennial, so I grew up with those 80s and 90s movies, especially those John Hughes movies from the 80s. Where it was like, there's something to be said about that era. You know? So I love the fact that it's like set in Baltimore, which actually I lived in suburban Maryland about almost 20 years ago. I lived in suburban Maryland. And so I used to take day trips to Baltimore. I just I need to change the scenery. It was either DC or Baltimore. Like, that's the beauty of it. And so I'm like, I need to get this book ASAP. Like, just because I'm like, I figure setting is going to be important. Family is going to be important. Friendship is going to be important. You know, the whole idea of like spending one day trying to have these memorable experiences. I love books that are contained within 1 or 2 days. Like, they're just kind of like, it's all crammed into 2 days. You're like, what is going on? But, you know, so I am adding this book ASAP.
Yay, I love it. And you know what's funny? When you were mentioning books that are crammed into 1 day, immediately my mind went to Nicola Yoon, The Sun Is Also a Star. Because I enjoy that book. I mean, it's a very different book, but it's also similar in that, you know, it was kind of crammed into 1 day. So yeah, I actually might use that as a comp for that one as well, because I was first thinking about You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson, which that was a good book as well. But the cramming stuff into 1 day, yeah, The Sun Is Also a Star, kind of took me there. But yeah, I hope our readers will give that one a chance for sure. And it's a great escape. It was fun for me because I've never been to Baltimore. So it was really cool.
That's really cool. I love this. Aren't you traveling?
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay, so now we're down to our last category. You know, I kind of feel like I saved the best for last. You know, light, fun, again, everything summer's about, escapism. So we are down to our romance selection. And for romance, I selected, and you know what? There are three books in this category, and every single book is a winner. Okay, I never had to, you know, think twice. Like, these books are all winners. Now when I think about it, I think there is a theme of fake relationships. Okay.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and now I'm thinking, maybe, you know what, maybe I'm into fake relationships because they were just so good. Because, yeah, now I'm looking at all three. Yeah, they're all fake relationships, but they're all great. But the one I selected, it was really good. I was still thinking about it, is A Proposal They Can't Refuse by Natalie Carner. This was so good. And remember, we were talking about having older characters in books. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a fake relationship, fake engagement, but there's also an enemies to lovers trope in there as well. And I know what readers are thinking. Well, you know what? We've gotten books with these tropes all the time, but I'm telling you, this book does it well. It's fresh. It felt good. It just gave me all the feels. So we meet, of course, two people, a Puerto Rican chef and an Irish American whiskey distiller who are determined to outwit their grandfathers because their grandfathers want them to be together. So they decide, you know what? Okay, let's fake it. So they fake a relationship, fake an engagement. But of course, feelings start to bubble up between them. Because again, it's a romance, it's a rom-com. So yeah, I really enjoy that one as well. So we meet childhood best friends who are forced into this relationship by both their grandfathers. So we meet Camila in the novel. She's a chef and her life revolves around her Puerto Rican restaurant, her family's Puerto Rican restaurant. And she wants to enter this fall foodie tour to help, you know, save her restaurant, boast revenue for the family and so on. But convincing her family is a struggle. But then her grandfather agrees, but he has a condition. He is saying that she must marry his best friend's grandson, whose name is Liam. Now, they've known each other since childhood, but he's also a man she can't stand. Like, she wants nothing to do with him. And on the flip side, we meet Liam, who is helping his grandfather run the distillery. The reason they know each other, Camila and Liam, is because they share the same building and they have shared the same building for many years. And then when his grandfather, so Liam's grandfather, gets in on the setup, both of the men, right? So both granddads are threatening to sell the building if the youngsters don't decide to give each other a chance at a relationship. So then now they decide we're going to outwit them. We're going to fake it. But of course, again, romance, their lives become entangled, feelings start to bubble up and so on. So obviously there's that. But I think one of the most beautiful things about this book, outside of the obvious romance, is just the Puerto Rican and Irish culture, the vibrant communities that shone through. And of course, food. Hello, I'm all about the food. So I really enjoyed reading that as well. So it's a really fun, very entertaining, fake relationship meets enemies to lovers rom-com that I think will provide a great escape for readers this summer. It's just great. I really think it's a great book.
I love this. Yeah, Natalie, and I just want to plug in for a future episode. Natalie's coming to the show. She talks about her debut novel because this is debut and like how the process, how she got it published and all this stuff. And we chat about being Puerto Rican and the magic of it all. Because I'm Puerto Rican, so like I have an affinity for any type of books that like features my culture.
Yes,
you know, it's kind of like fun. But I am so excited. I love meddling grandfathers. Like, you know, there's something to be said about like old, you know, 80-year-olds telling you this is what you need to do. You're like, but I don't want to. So I'm gonna outwit you. And you're like, they realize like they know better than you do.
So. Absolutely. And you know what? I'm used to meddling granddads and aunties and uncles and just family members. So I'm definitely here for that. And again, you're right. There's something about the older generation. And for me, it was just really nice kind of, you know, getting that Puerto Rican culture, Irish culture. I was here for it. So the fact that this is a debut is great. And I will be tuning into that interview because I want to hear from Natalie. So yeah, this is exciting.
Oh, it's so exciting. So we have walked through not just 8 books, but you actually give us comp titles and other titles to pick up. So there's a lot of titles to pick up. So how do you plan to spend your summer? Like, what are you planning to travel or spend time by the beach or the pool or anything, you know?
So this summer, I will definitely be at the park. I'm a park rat. I love going to a park. I love walking on trails. I love bike riding, hanging out by the river. I'll be doing that. Of course, I live in Florida, so a beach day is definitely on the books. So I'll be hanging out by the beach, not so much the pool. I think I'll be volleying between the beach, hanging out downtown, getting ice cream by the river, walking the boardwalk. I have a boardwalk too. It's not like the one in the guide. There's no sand, there's no beach, but I'll be hanging down by the boardwalk, probably having an ice cream, reading a book.
Yeah,
I will say I probably won't be reading as much summer books. I'll be reading for the fall guide and the winter guide and making plans for the holiday gift guide. So yeah, we have 3 more guides this year. So I'll be reading for that, flipping through some pages. But I'm really just looking forward to being outside. The long summer days are just great for reading. They really are. And I'm looking forward to some family time as well. So yeah, really excited for summer.
I love this. So tell us where we can find you online.
So you guys can find me on all social media at Biblio Lifestyle, but I really love connecting with readers. I want to hear what you're reading. And the best way to do that is to subscribe to the weekly newsletter. So visit bibliolifestyle.com. So that's B-I-B-L-I-O lifestyle.com. Sign up to get the newsletter, sign up to get the guide, and just hit reply and let me know what you're reading. Or if there's something out there that you're like, this book's coming out, I want to know what you think, let me know as well. I love getting book recommendations from you guys. I love trying new books. So yeah, definitely reach out to me there. And of course, the festival, Epigraph Lit Fest, save your seat. It's going to be a fun time. And if you sign up now, you'll be the first to know the authors that we're going to have lined up, the sessions we're going to have planned as well. Plus, you'll be the first to get event swag. We sent out event swag last time. We sent out some early books, notepads, pens, all kinds of fun stuff. You might get a t-shirt, some bookmarks. So sign up, epigraphlitfest.com.
I love this. Thank you, Victoria, for being on the show.
Yay. Thanks again for having me. And happy summer reading, you guys.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.